As we've been reporting today, Cabinet is poised to sign off on making masks mandatory on all public transport in Auckland and all domestic flights around the country. With us now is the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
So why now? Why is it that masks should be mandatory now?
Yeah, well, look, we, of course, throughout our response to COVID-19, as we've learnt more, identified areas that are considered higher risk, as some of the evidence has evolved, we've continued to make adjustments to our system as we've gone through those experiences. So you'll remember, masks we do have as part of our response now at different alert levels. So that we built into the system some time ago.
But at this lower alert level, Prime Minister, for some time, leading epidemiologists, like for months, leading epidemiologists have said, at level one, we should be wearing masks.
Well, but not, of course, it hasn't always been. And again, as I say, remember, this is all about where we are in our risk level. We absolutely accept that mask use when you are in a position, as we are, for instance, at level two, where we have different restrictions. Level one has always been designed to acknowledge that actually the level of risk is lower. That's why we're at level one. We don't have cases in the community and so on. Now we're seeing situations where we are able to well manage when we do have cases arise without moving up alert levels. It means we want to adjust the way we work at level one as well.
Okay, so but you have. Is it fair to say, though, Prime Minister, that you have been dragging your feet on this in the sign or in the face of people, epidemiologists, the scientists, saying this is something that we need to have at level one?
No, I disagree with that, Susie. We're moving on this. We have, of course, continued to encourage their use. It is a big difference between mandating something. It means that people, for instance, who haven't got a mask with them or a face covering at any given time could be excluded from using public transport. We don't take those decisions lightly. We have continued to encourage their use. We're now looking at Cabinet today at mandating. But again, keep in mind, Susie, level one is the only area where we haven't had the use built into our system.
Okay.
Level two and beyond.
So what is likely to be the discussion? It's going to be about having masks at level one. What is your time frame on this in terms of bringing it in?
Some of the details like that I'll be talking to this afternoon after Cabinet. I do want to leave them to have a discussion
but
around those
transitions. Could be this week.
I'm going to leave that discussion to Cabinet, and in a couple of hours we'll then be announcing the way that we would bring something like that in. The other discussion.
You're supportive of it, though, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. The other, if I could just finish, Susie. So we're, of course, moving here on Auckland, and we're looking at what we do with flights around the country. We then have a discussion around just public transport elsewhere generally. So I expect that might take a bit more consideration by Cabinet.
What about school buses? Is it going to be included?
No, remember at level two we had a different system there as well. And the reason for that is one of the reasons that we consider general public transport a bit more high risk is it's very hard to trace people. And so, of course, we want people to use the COVID Tracer app on buses. But we have had experience before that when you're tracing people on buses, it's very difficult. That's less of an issue for school buses. We know who's on them. We know the children who routinely take them. It can be a bit different. If we've got children on general public transport, then they're covered by the general public transport provision.
OK. How are you considering policing this? Is it going to be with fines, and is it going to be left up to people at the front line, the bus drivers, the flight attendants, to be offloading people?
And this is why we don't take these decisions lightly. And of course, yes, we hear the public health calls, but we also have to make sure that we keep everyone safe while we're bringing in enforcement. So at level two, that actually we did manage it well as a country. So we didn't want a situation where we put staff at the front line at risk. So they, of course, encouraging use, asking people to wear them, but we took a softly approach as we brought it in. I would expect we'd take a similar approach. Ultimately, enforcement of any law comes down to the police, but we do have a role to play for people at the front line to encourage their use.
And has this really been brought into focus by Friday's shutdown, essentially, of Auckland's CBD? Are you aiming to prevent these sorts of situations in the future?
Again, I think this demonstrates why this is precautionary. There is no involvement in public transport in that case. However, We were at level one, but did say at that time, as part of that precautionary action on Friday, that we wanted people using masks on public transport. I think the point to make again, Susie, is that we are moving to a position where we're able, much more so than before, we're able to stamp out the virus, which is our strategy, while we are still at level one. Now, because we're changing up that approach and we're learning that we're able to do that because our systems are good, that's why we're looking to bring some of those precautionary elements to level one as well.
All right, more detail to come on that later today. As for housing, you've talked about house prices, which are up 20% on the year, the median price now $725,000. You're saying that the house prices cannot keep increasing. So what transformational policy are you going to bring in to stop it?
No one wants to keep seeing them increase. But equally, if there was one single thing that was going to resolve this issue, it would have been done by now. We know that it's about demand. We know it's also about supply. We have got measures on both that we will continue aggressively pursuing. But at the same time, Susie, I'm constantly looking for other avenues that we can enable first home buyers into the market particularly.
What's going to be on the table for first home buyers to encourage them, but equally, I guess, to perhaps dampen down the situation for speculators?
Actually, what we've seen is the proportion of first home buyers in the market has been increasing. And the proportion of investors has stayed about the same. So what we don't want is suddenly, because of these low interest rates, a sudden spike in investors dominating the market at a time when we still want to get first-time buyers in. We see that things that the Reserve Bank are doing have been picked up by banks already. We've already got three of the majors implementing changes that should help ensure that we don't see too much heat amongst investors in the market.
But what do you want to do regarding tackling the deposit hurdle? Yeah, but what are you going to do about the first home buyers and this hurdle they have to get over?
And I would have if you'd just let me finish that quick sentence.
Sure.
So on first home buyers, we know you're right to say that for many, actually, they could cover with those low interest rates and mortgage, even with the rent they're paying right now in places like Auckland. It is the deposit that's tough. We do already have some products that the government offers where, you know, you're using your KiwiSaver, but also we're reducing down, therefore, the amount of a deposit you're required to have. I want to look at those again. I want to see why the uptake isn't as high as they should be and how we might be able to tweak those.
What do you mean by look at it again? Does there need to be a larger amount of money made available?
Just whether or not there's ways that we could put in greater support for those first-home buyers and the relative amount of the deposit they're needing to put forward. So that's, again, wanting to get a bit of advice on whether there's more we could do in that area.
So is that about
progressive home ownership, which starting to roll out as well.
But regarding that deposit, are you wanting to make more KiwiSaver available for people or more loans? So is that essentially about putting more money into the system? And would that then, therefore, just, you know, chuck some petrol on an already raging fire?
Well, these are all questions that's a good point around the question. So yes, to answer your question, these are all things I'm wanting to get advice on. But around the petrol on the fire question, we've already taken steps to try and deal with the demand side, you know, stopping, you know, foreign buyers in our residential market, closing off tax loopholes, extending the bright line test. These are all things we've done to try and manage that demand side whilst building a lot of houses. And we can see consents are well up. We haven't seen consenting like this since the 1970s. So that pipeline of residential housing in the next year is looking solid. The question is, will COVID, for instance, and our border restrictions means that actually demands will start coming down? There's no real evidence at the moment that returning Kiwis are causing that heat in the market. A big part of this, I think, is what's happening with interest rates. And only a few months ago, Susie, we were talking about the potential collapse of the housing market. So it's a very volatile, unpredictable time right now.
Thank you very much for your time. Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister there.